This is the 2019 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news in Pierre.
The House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee is sending a bill clarifying the sales on big game animal parts. Tony Life is the wildlife director for Game Fish and Parks. He says the state statute on big game parts sales is in two parts, one that lists parts prohibited for sale, another that shows what parts are legal to sell.
Now, as we were looking at this, it became pretty clear that there's still a bit confusion when you have two laws on the books of one that says what you can't sell and one that says what you can sell, because there are some parts that are neither listed as being prohibited nor allowed in the sale. Consequently, we've treated those in the same light as parts that could be sold. But if you look at the list of items, obviously there's a bunch more, whether it be the tail or the ears or anything else of those animals are allowed to be sold. So really there is not a great need for having a statute that says the things that you can sell.
House Bill 1023 lists what parts are forbidden to sell, and those that aren't mentioned in the law are legal for trade. The Ag and Natural Resources Committee advances the bill on a unanimous vote. South Dakota's restriction on campaign material in and near polling places will remain. State senators are killing a bill that lifts some bans on wearing campaign clothing or buttons while voting. The bill is in response to a recent Supreme Court decision challenging Minnesota's polling place restrictions. Kay Warren is the director of the Election Division in the Secretary of State's office. She says every state has rules regarding campaign material, but 10 states are more restrictive.
And we're one of those 10 because we restrict any campaign material. And I believe the difference between the Minnesota requirements and ours is that they had listed things that weren't very clear for their poll workers on what you can not have at the polling place and what you can. We limit everything campaign related, whether it's in the polling place or within 100 feet of the polling place.
Warren says the state limits everything campaign-related inside and within 100 feet of a polling place. Supporters say that restriction is a limit on free speech. The Senate Health and Human Services Committee will reconsider a bill that regulates cannabidiol, or CBD, as a Schedule IV drug in South Dakota. That means CBD is available only by prescription. Opponents to Senate Bill 22 say it criminalizes hemp CBD and prevents the state from exploring hemp as a crop. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this report.
The recent federal farm bill took hemp off the Drug Enforcement Administration's list of illegal drugs. Hemp is one source of CBD, marijuana is another. In response, the State Department of Health introduced Senate Bill 22 to reinforce a state law that allows CBD in only one prescription drug, Epidiolex. Department of Health lawyer Justin Williams says Senate Bill 22 mirrors what the federal government has done, and then some.
Senate Bill 22 also addresses the problem of what we call underground chemists who make minor changes to an existing illegal chemical, resulting in a new chemical which is not scheduled under the controlled substances schedules.
But hemp advocates say Epidiolex contains CBD derived from marijuana, not hemp. And they say now that hemp is a legal plant, CBD from hemp is a legal substance. Pat Cromwell of Rapid City says Senate Bill 22 runs interference on a potential industry.
We're an ag state where people could be raising hemp. In raising hemp, we could also be producers or processors too. And it would be a shame if we were not taking advantage of that, as the health or hemp bill in the farm bill stipulates we can. This could be the next big thing for this state.
Cromwell and other hemp advocates gave anecdotal information on the benefits of CBD, including pain relief without addiction. After hearing testimony, committee chairwoman Deb Soholt said the bill, as written, could have unintended consequences, and the State Department of Agriculture needs to have input also. She says the bill will come up for reconsideration next week. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
One of the bills, following an interim study on the state's extraordinary cost fund for special education, is moving to the House floor. School districts that meet certain requirements can apply to the $4 million fund to cover costs for students with special needs. The interim study came after concerns that current funds aren't enough to meet growing needs. House Bill 1001 revises state statute so that the Department of Education reevaluates funding levels in the special education formula every 2 years. Under current statute, the department recalculates funds for different disability levels every 3 years. Representative Hugh Bartles of District 5 served on the interim study committee and sponsors the bill. He says families are open enrolling into schools with better special education programs, and that's increasing costs for some districts.
It does create a lot of movement, and that's one of the reasons schools like Watertown and some other big schools are running out of funds, because they have become a magnet. And there's some small school districts that are magnets as well that have excellent programs.
The bill passes through the House Education Committee unanimously. Other bills resulting from the interim study include the creation of a special education task force, adding a legislator to the Extraordinary Cost Oversight Board, and adjusting special education funds for inflation. The State Senate Commerce and Energy Committee will reconsider a measure that gives the Public Utilities Commission more time to issue decisions on proposed wind farms. Current South Dakota law gives the PUC 6 months to grant or deny a permit. Senate Bill 15 increases that to 1 year. Supporters of the legislation include Commission Chairman Gary Hansen and state residents concerned about wind energy projects. Greg Huebner with South Dakotans for Safe and Responsible Energy supports the bill. Huebner is appealing the decision by the PUC to conditionally approve the prevailing wind park in Bonham, Gregory, and Hutchinson counties. He says it costs anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 to hire an attorney and gather expert witnesses to argue these projects negatively impact quality of life. Huebner says the wind industry doesn't want to give the commission more time to do their work.
They have the advantage of all the money, all the lawyers, all the lobbyists, the expert witnesses, and they seem to have a lot of political clout so that they can slam dunk these wind projects as fast as they can, locking in billions and billions of dollars in tax credits. It's an unfair advantage for them. It's unfair to the PUC, and it certainly is unfair to the residents affected by these projects.
Justin Smith with the South Dakota Wind Energy Association says developers have to get the go-ahead from local zoning boards in addition to PUC approval. He says there's enough bureaucracy in the permitting process. Smith argues the bill should be defeated.
The wind energy regulators in other states have no trouble completing the same work that the South Dakota PUC does in the same or less the amount of time. North Dakota also requires 6 months for its PUC to approve or deny. North Dakota Code 492208. In Ohio, the Power Siting Board must hold a public hearing within 90 days of the developer filing its application and must conclude the proceedings, quote, as expeditiously as practicable. Ohio Code 4906.07.
Following proponent and opponent testimony, Committee Chair Senator Jim Stalzer announced the meeting had gone over time. Senate Commerce and Energy votes on the bill Thursday.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2019 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for committee meetings, floor sessions, agendas, and more during this year's legislative session. Be sure to also connect with us on social media by liking SDPB News on Facebook and by following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.